Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Last Sunday, we began our sermon series in the Gospel of Mark, and we looked together at two verses in the first chapter, verses 14 and 15, which told us that Jesus was preaching the good news. And then Jesus goes on in verse 15 to tell us that the good news involves four different aspects. First, that the time has come, the time that has been promised, the time that God has been speaking of through his prophets in the Old Testament, the time has now come. Fulfillment is here. Secondly, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is near. It is near to you. It is available now in a way that it has never been available before. Indeed, it is available through him because he is near. He has come into this world, the Son of God, that we may be able to enter into the kingdom of God. So the time has finally come. The kingdom is near. And then Jesus says we need to repent of our sin and believe the good news. So a response is required by those who seek to enter into and become a part of and live in the kingdom of God. The response of repentance of sin and believing the good news. And indeed, the Gospel of Mark, as it continues, is the story of Jesus Christ, but especially centered on these aspects of the good news that Jesus lays out in verse 15 of chapter 1. And so today we are in Mark chapter 2, and we're going to look at a story together that is told in the first 12 verses of that chapter, and it's a story about forgiveness and about Jesus' authority to declare forgiveness for those who believe. Right along with what Jesus has been saying, this is what I'm going to be focusing on. This is the purpose of my ministry. For those of you in the sanctuary, the text that I'm about to read is in your bulletin. If you don't have your Bible, you can certainly follow along there. And for those of you at home, perhaps you have your own Bible, or you can read along with what you will find up here on the screens. Now, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon, the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, walk'? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." And then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We have never seen anything like this before." So while Jesus is in this house preaching the Word of God, a hole is being dug in the roof above his head, and a man is lowered down on a mat right in front of him. What a dramatic way of coming to Jesus. What an amazing desire on the part of this man and his friends for him to receive a healing touch from the one who has already declared himself to be and has proven to be able to heal the sick and the injured. We are told that they're unable to get into the house in the normal way because of the huge crowds, and clearly no one was willing to move out of the way for these four men to be able to carry the mat in front of Jesus. But with faith in the healing power of this one who we will come to know as the Son of God, they do what they need to do. And Jesus sees this faith. Jesus sees this desire, this deep need to be healed. And he recognizes that faith. He recognizes that this man is willing to publicly humble himself. Can you imagine what people are saying, let alone thinking, as this is going on? As Jesus, the teacher, is being interrupted so crassly, so selfishly, by someone who's not willing to wait his turn, not willing to wait until maybe some of the people go home, not willing to practice appropriate social decorum, but they, in front of all these people, are simply going to, if you will, demand by faith, "I want to be healed." This man is willing to humble himself. This man is willing to suffer whatever people may say, even risk the anger of the one that he needs in order to be healed. This is the home in which Jesus is staying. We don't know if it's his home or if he's staying with some friends or some relatives there in Capernaum, but it's his home. It's not that Jesus said, "Let's all go to the home of Simeon over here and we'll have a meeting and I'll preach the gospel." No, he was in the home. Perhaps they were sitting around just chatting. Perhaps they were having the evening meal, whatever. But people in the village come to recognize, "Hey, Jesus is over at the home." And they start congregating and arriving. And Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, leave me alone." He starts preaching. But this wasn't a planned event. And now, not only all these people invading his privacy and bothering him as he's, with these people in this home, but a hole is being dug in the roof. Destruction to the property is happening. And this guy puts himself in front of everybody and says, "I want healing." Jesus knows what we need. He sees what is going on in our lives. And if we are bold enough, if we are willing enough, if we are humble enough to come to him in our time of need, he will always meet us where we are. The truth of the matter is that for each one of us, there are times that we, like this man, find ourselves, if you will, flat on our backs, and we're not able to get up on our own. There's nothing that we can do. We have probably tried many things, but we realize this is a time that I cannot do for myself what I need. And the question becomes, are we willing to go to Jesus? Are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to say, Jesus, I need your help? And we probably don't have to do it publicly like this man did. But even privately, for so many of us, it is hard to go to Jesus. We are prideful people. And we tend to think of ourselves in such a way that I should be able to handle whatever's going on in my life. We don't like being paralyzed in front of God. And besides, doesn't the Bible say God helps those who help themselves? Well, actually, the Bible doesn't say that at all. Indeed, the Bible says the very opposite of that. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, all of those who are laying flat out on a mat and can't get up, no matter how hard you've tried. Come to me, all who are paralyzed by the evil and by the sin and by the hurt and by the fear and the anxiety that is a part of the world in which you live, and you have tried everything you can do. You have read the paper. You've listened to the pundits. You have even prayed, and yet you find yourself paralyzed with what is going on in the world and in your own life. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. The question is, are we willing to do that? All too often, we don't go to Jesus because we don't have a need. We don't go to Jesus because in our own pride, we think we can take care of our own need. This man knew that there's nothing he or his friends could do to heal him of his paralysis. And he does whatever it takes, whatever humbling circumstances needed, in order to get himself to Jesus. Everybody there knew what the man needed. It was very obvious. Jesus knew what the man needed. He needed to be healed. He was paralyzed. He was on a mat. But Jesus knew something that the people in that room did not know, or at least were not taking seriously in that moment. They thought his greatest need was to be healed of his paralysis, but Jesus knew that he had a deeper need. Just as Jesus knows that you and I have a deeper need than whatever we may come to Jesus presenting him with. Not that the needs that we have are not legitimate. They're very legitimate. They're very real. Jesus has come to me with your needs, but he knows our deepest need. He knows this man's deepest need is to be forgiven of his sin. Yes, there is a paralysis that has overtaken his body that causes him not to be able to walk. But he, like all of us, are a part of a paralysis of sin. And the consequence of sin paralyzes us in all kinds of ways, including paralyzing us from being able to walk into the kingdom of God. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. But God knows, and Jesus Christ, his Son, knows that while we can be sorry for our sins, we cannot forgive our own sins. And there's nothing we can do to earn that forgiveness. It is only the authoritative work and word of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that can heal us of sin's paralysis, that can put us back on our feet, spiritually speaking, so that we may enter into the kingdom of God. Without forgiveness, we are stuck on that mat, and we will not get up in this life, and we will not get up in eternity. It is our forever condition. My child, your sins are forgiven. Now the story turns after Jesus speaks those words, and Jesus looks at the teachers of religious law who are part of the audience. They're sitting there. They probably have been given some pretty choice seats. While the crowd may not have allowed the man and his friends in, they certainly would have allowed the teachers of religious law to come in and to get some good seats to be able to listen to Jesus. See, Jesus has looked at this man who has faith, and he says, your sins are forgiven. Because Jesus knows, as the Son of God, he sees that this man has faith to receive, to accept that as being true, because it is spoken by Jesus. The man may not understand it, he may not get it, but there's something there. And Jesus knows that by faith, he is going to receive the forgiveness that is given. Otherwise, Jesus would not have spoken those words. Jesus could have said, do you believe your sins would be forgiven? Are you willing to repent of your... He could have asked all kind of questions. He could have done a little theological test. And eventually, if the man had passed all the steps, said, okay, you're forgiven, which is so often what we do. But Jesus doesn't do that. He simply looks at the man, sees his faith, and says, your sins are forgiven. Period. End of sentence. That's it. That's all that's needed. And he has the authority to do so. But now Jesus turns his attention to the teachers of the religious law, and he knows what they're thinking. Notice they don't speak a word. They don't get to talk this time. Usually they do. Usually they have plenty to say against Jesus. But this time they don't get to say anything, but Jesus knows what's going on in their hearts. He knows what they're thinking. And unlike the man laying there on his mat, these men do not believe. They do not have faith. They are not interested in the good news that through this person who stands right there in front of them, who is near to them, that their sin may be forgiven. You see, they come from a particular point of view. And there's nothing wrong with this point of view. Indeed, it has been God's point of view now for several thousand years as he has revealed it to his people. And it's this, that only God can forgive sins. And the way God forgives sins is through the temple and through animal sacrifice and through the work of the priests. That's how God has put together the way in which sins can be forgiven. And here stands this Galilean carpenter and says, I have the authority to forgive sins. Where's the temple? Where's the sacrifice? Where are the priests? They're nowhere to be found. And so these teachers of religious law, they say in their hearts, that's blasphemy. That is speaking against God. He does not have the authority to forgive sins. And see, here is the beautiful thing about Jesus Christ. He is not just interested in people of faith, like the man on the mat and his friends. He is interested in these skeptics. He is interested in these atheists who will not believe in who he says he is. He is interested because they, as much as the man and as much as you and I, need forgiveness of sin. And so Jesus seeks to win them over. He's not interested in winning a theological argument. He did not come into the world to argue theology. He came into the world to preach good news. And good news is, no matter how much you think that what Jesus is doing is wrong, how much you disbelieve God and you disbelieve his word, he loves you and he cares for you and he is seeking you. And he will do anything that he can to help you to turn away from unbelief and toward belief. And that is what Jesus does here with them. He wants them to even start thinking about the possibility that Jesus is who he says he is and can do exactly what he says he can do, including forgiving sin. He wants them to believe because he cares about them. He loves them. And he turns to them and he says, "Is there anything that I can do to win you over? Can I show you that I have the power to forgive sins by exhibiting my power in the healing of this man?" Jesus is not interested that they agree with him for the sake of argument. He is interested that they, by faith, would get to where that man and his friends are, that their sins may be forgiven. Now, let's not forget the poor guy laying there on his mat. I mean, what is he doing? He's just laying there. He got lowered down. He looks at Jesus. Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." And then he goes and has this conversation, very one-way conversation, with all the religious leaders. Meanwhile, the guy's laying there on the ground right in front of him, kind of mulling over. That's strange. My sins are forgiven. What's that about? That's not what I thought would happen. That's not what I was hoping for. That's not what I was expecting. I mean, it sounds good. I know I need forgiveness of sin. That's nice. But you, hey, Jesus, remember me? I'm the paralyzed guy. And of course, Jesus does remember him. And Jesus turns to him, and the next thing he says to him, these amazing, wonderful words: "Stand up, take your mat, and go home." And the man leaps up, and he picks up his mat. And the man who couldn't get in, unless he had to dig a hole through the roof, walks right out. I'm sure the people just part the way and just go, "Wow." And he walks out. And his friends come down off the roof, and it's amazingly joyful. And the people are amazed and they rejoice. But sadly, the religious leaders, these teachers of religious law, just stay seated right where they are. Jesus Christ knows what you and I need. And the question is, are we going to come to him in humility and seek what he has to offer? Or are we going to sit there like the teachers of religious law, arguing with him, disputing with him, naysaying him, coming up with all kind of reasons and arguments for why he is not who he says he is and will not be able to do what he says he is able to do? He is here. He has come into this world. He has preached a kingdom which is near to each one of us. He has told us specifically and directly that we can become part of that kingdom if our sin is forgiven. And now we learn today that he is the one who can forgive that sin. Are we going to believe? Are we going to receive this good news for ourselves? Are we going to trust that his words are true? See, the reality is that many of us have some kind of a voice in our head. Not that we hear voices in a psychotic kind of way, but there's something in there that basically is trying to tell us that we're not good enough. Telling us that we don't really measure up. Okay, Jesus is willing to heal this guy because he has amazing, bust through the roof kind of faith, but my faith probably isn't strong enough. I don't know that Jesus really wants to heal me, at least not the way that I am right now. I am not sure that I am worthy of his forgiveness. I don't know, says the voice, whether this story in Mark chapter 2 is really for me. Sometimes We've even convinced ourselves that the voice is actually God's voice. That's what God says about us and to us. That's how God feels about us. Well, if that voice really is from God, then the story that we've talked about this morning is a lie. Because you can't have it both ways. When Jesus Christ says to us, believe the good news, your sins are forgiven. There are no restraints, there are no conditions, there are no buts or ifs put at the end of the sentence. Your sins are forgiven if you, and then these are all the things you need to do. Your sins are forgiven, but you're not quite there yet. No, your sins are forgiven, period, end of sentence, full stop. Do you believe? Do you believe like this man believed? Maybe not as spectacular. Maybe your faith is very weak compared to his faith. But forgiveness of sins is not based on your ability or my ability to believe. It is based on a God who declares forgiveness. And all you need to do, all I need to do is believe that that is true. Don't worry about believing anything else. Don't believe about trusting anything else. Don't say, well, I read some things in the Bible. I'm not sure I get it. I read other things in the Bible and I don't agree with what some Christians say that means. And I have this view on Genesis and evolution. And I have this particular view on the end of the world. And I think these things about those things. And I think that Christians should be more involved in politics, or Christians shouldn't be at all involved in politics. And forget all of that. Your sins are forgiven. Do you believe it? If you do, this story declares, indeed, all of Scripture declares that it is true because God is the one who says it. God says it. That settles it. I believe it. That's it. That is why this is good news. It is good news the way it is now, not something that will be good news if you do a better job in your life. It is good news now for those who believe. But for those who do not believe, they remain in their sin. They remain excluded from the kingdom of God. And the paralysis of all the things in this world that bring us down, that lay us out flat on that mat, are going to keep us right there. Believe the good news. It is time to trust that God has forgiven your sin. And it is time to get up off your mat of paralysis and to walk in the kingdom of God. To live that abundant life that Jesus said, I came to give life and to give it abundantly. Let's believe the good news that our sin is forgiven. And let us walk in His way. Let us come to Him humbly and trusting that He is the one who can heal us of every paralysis that lays us low. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this amazing story of this man. And I'm absolutely convinced that the story's not here so we can say, boy, good for him 2,000 years ago, but that we can say good for us. For this story is for us. For it declares the power of God. And it's certainly not a power that is only applied to one man living in Palestine. Albeit he did something pretty audacious, something pretty amazing. But that's not why he was forgiven. He was forgiven because he's loved by God. And by faith he was able to receive what God had for him. And as a part, a beautiful, wonderful part of what God had for him as this man entered into the kingdom of God, was also a physical healing, illustrating the release of paralysis of all that holds him, that holds us in the clutches of evil. That, Lord, you have the power to heal. So may we today believe the good news. Our sins are forgiven. Amen.